This morning we're looking at Psalm 31. This is a lament psalm, and we've looked at some of these before. A lament is usually a psalm where the psalmist is troubled by different foes or enemies or adversaries, and he's lamenting the problems that he's going through, and he's asking God for help, especially in deliverance from that, and then thanking God for the deliverance. So we're looking at a lament psalm this morning. A good description of it would be faith in the midst of foes. Faith in the midst of foes. In verses 1 through 8, there's a strong emphasis on faith in God and trusting in God. Beginning in verses 9 through 18, there's a discussion of his problems that he's going through and a description of some of the reproaches and adversaries that he has, especially when you get down into verse 11 and 12, 13, along in there. So a discussion of the adversaries that he's going through. But look at verse 14, "But I trust in thee." It's faith and trust in the midst of these problems and trials and troubles. Then in verses 19 through 22, there's several statements that he makes about God. He has strong feelings about God, God's goodness, his loving kindness, that type of thing. He's protecting him, verse 20. And then last of all, in verses 23 through 24, there's a closing admonition to the readers. The psalmist turns his attention away from God to the ones who would be reading this or singing this, and they are encouraged to love the Lord, to be strong, and to be courageous. So a closing exhortation. So faith in the midst of foes. It's attributed to David, and of course David had plenty of enemies and problems in his life. We also have in the subheading another expression. We've seen this before. The first time we saw this was in Psalm 4 for the chief musician. This is probably just a statement there where the head musician, the leader of the singers, Asaph, would be in charge of this psalm and, you know, getting the singers or the players ready to sing and play this song. So if you'll refer back to your notes on Psalm 4, you'll see a mention there of the chief musician. Let's read Psalm 31 together, and let's look at this faith or trust in the midst of foes. You'll notice in verse 6, "I trust in Jehovah," and then verse 14, "I trusted in thee." So these would be two verses that would help to key in on, to bring out the theme of this psalm. And then verse 1, "I take refuge in the Lord." So it's something that we can learn from as we experience problems and troubles today, to continue to put our trust in God. Psalm 31. "In thee, O Jehovah, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear unto me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou to me a strong rock, a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pluck me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my stronghold. Into thy hand I commend my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Jehovah, thou God of truth. I hate them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in Jehovah. I will be glad and rejoice in thy loving kindness, for thou hast seen my affliction. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and thou hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large place. Have mercy upon me, O Jehovah, for I am in distress. Mine eye wasteth away with grief, yea, my soul and my body. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are wasted away. Because of all mine adversaries, I am become a reproach, yea, unto my neighbors exceedingly, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the defaming of many, terror on every side, while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Jehovah. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me in thy loving kindness. Let me not be put to shame, O Jehovah, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them be silent in Sheol. Let the lying lips be dumb, which speak against the righteous insolently, with pride and contempt. O, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that take refuge in thee, before the sons of men. In the covert of thy presence wilt thou hide them from the plottings of man. Thou wilt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be Jehovah, for he hath showed me his marvelous loving kindness in a strong city. As for me, I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O, love Jehovah, all ye his saints. Jehovah preserveth the faithful, and plentifully rewardeth him that dealeth proudly. Be strong, and let your heart take courage, all ye that hope in Jehovah. So it's a great psalm dealing with trust in the Lord in the face of troubles, or faith in the midst of foes. And any time we look at a psalm where there's a mention of this in the New Testament, we want to take a look at that. Turn with me to Luke 23:46. Jesus quotes or refers to this psalm while he's hanging on the cross. And it's taken from verse 5. Into thy hand I commend or commit my spirit. Jesus says this very thing in Luke 23:46, and Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. So literally, this psalm would be on his dying lips. The very last thing he said was a quotation from Scripture. Stop and think about that. If you were on your deathbed or about to die, what's on your mind? What's the prevalent thing that's in the forefront of your mind? Is it Scripture? Is it God's Word? Have you been so acquainted with Scripture, quoting it, reading it, studying it all your life? It's so much a part of you that the last thing you say out of your mouth is a Scripture. Something to think about. It'd be a good example to follow. And if you look back at Psalm 31, you'll see some of the things that relate to Jesus while he's on the cross. I don't think it's an accident that Jesus quoted or referred to verse 5 when you consider that much of this has to do with adversaries, and the Jews and the Romans have put Jesus on the cross, and the Jews especially are saying terrible things about him, and it fits the psalm. I was thinking of verse 13 while I was reading this. I've heard the defaming of many. They mocked him and slapped him, terror on every side, while they took counsel together against me. That fits the Jews who were conspiring to have Jesus put on the cross. They devised to take away my life. That certainly fits Jesus on the cross. And so, verse 15, deliver me from the hand of my enemies. And then verse 14, I trusted in thee and I said, thou art my God. What was one of the other things that Jesus said on the cross?
My God, my God,
why hast thou forsaken me? So a reference to my God. And so this psalm certainly fits Jesus and his trial and his crucifixion. And it's no accident then that he quotes verse 5. Into thy hand I commend my spirit. And so when things are problematic around us, we just turn our lives over to God. And that's what Jesus did. So whenever we're studying the Psalms, always look at those places in the New Testament where it's quoted or used. We're going to see this again in our next Psalm, in Psalm 32. Paul is going to use it in Romans 4, so be mindful of that. And it sheds new light, helps us to understand not only the Psalm, but it helps us to understand the New Testament setting of that. And I made mention that to rely upon God when dying sends a powerful message to the living. You know, there's going to be people standing around most likely when you pass away and when I pass away. And one of the greatest examples that we can set for them is to quote Scripture right there at the very last. That would be a strong message to the living. So it's a great, great example there. Okay, Sherry, we'll start with you. Number one, please. Let's look at this faith in the midst of foes. Number one, what request does the psalmist have for the Lord?
Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Be my rock, refuge, your strength, and save me.
Right. So this is typical of the psalmist, especially in the lament psalms. He's crying out to God, deliver me, bow down thine ear. Deliver me speedily, be a strong rock, a house of defense. This is very typical, and rather than relying on man or just human wisdom, he puts his hands in God's hands. And that's a beautiful verse. Verse 15, my times are in thy hand. That would make a great sermon. We're in the hand of God. Okay? Number two, Eric, what is the Lord to the psalmist?
He says, you are my rock and my fortress, therefore for your name's sake, lead me and guide me, and you are my strength.
Right. This is very common in the Psalms where God is described as my rock. This is going to be symbolic of safety and security. A shelter. This is, we're not talking about a rock out in the parking lot. We're talking about a big rock. And it becomes symbolic of a protection or a help. And then, of course, a fortress. Let's turn over to Psalm 71. I wanted us to notice that these same words are used there. This could be another Psalm of David where he's just simply repeating these same words. It could be another author, and he's quoting David, but I wanted you to notice that these same three verses are found at the beginning of Psalm 71. Let's read that. Psalm 71, 1 through 3. In thee, O Jehovah, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in thy righteousness and rescue me. Bow down thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou to me a rock of habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me. Thou art my rock and my fortress. Right there in the middle of verse 3, there's a little bit of new material. The rest of it is pretty much a straight quotation from Psalm 31. This is an older man who is praying for deliverance. And we'll look at that when we get to Psalm 71. But just wanted to also make note of that. Okay. Joyce, number three, what does the psalmist do with his spirit and how does he describe God?
He commends it into God's hand and says, you have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth.
Right. So putting our hands in God's hands, and we'll talk more about that later with our applications. Mike, number four, what does the psalmist hate and who does he trust?
He hates those who regard
Right. So not only is he surrounded by wickedness, but he does not have anything to do with that. And these lying vanities, some versions have idols. It's probably a reference to idolatry. And in the midst of that, he's going to trust in the Lord. Okay, Janice, you want to take number five? Why is the psalmist glad and why does he rejoice? Right. And this would be a hard thing to do, to be glad and rejoice in the midst of enemies and afflictions. But when you're so focused on God and trusting in God and serving God, we can have that gladness. We can have that joy, even though we're surrounded by enemies. And he was set in a large place, which is a symbol of safety and security, where you can move about freely with safety and security. And similar statements are found elsewhere in the Psalms. Okay? It's interesting. It's kind of like the Psalms make us go to the next level. We might trust in God in the midst of adversaries, but are we happy? That's the next level. That might be the hard one. And the psalmist encourages us to do both. Okay? Number six. Sean, please. Why does the psalmist ask for the Lord's mercy? Yep. And so he's in the midst of these troubles, and have mercy on me. Help me through this. Watch over me. Be my defense. He's calling upon the mercy of God. Don't just let me go through this without any help whatsoever. Notice in verse 9 that it's my soul and my body. So it was both emotional problems and physical problems that he's going through. And then also notice in verse 10 that some of it had to do with his own sin. It's not just purely outside problems, but because of my iniquity. There's a few translations that don't use iniquity there. They follow the Septuagint. Those versions who do have iniquity, that follows the Hebrew text, which the word is guilt. The Septuagint changed that a little bit, and I think it ends up being because of my afflictions. So if you have a version that reads something similar to that. But several of the standard translations say because of my iniquity. That's probably the better translation there. But just understand that difference. Brittany, number seven. What has the psalmist become because of his adversaries? Right. There's some terrible things, you know, mentioned here. Just rejection by his adversaries, his neighbors. So there's reproach and rejection, and some statements here that are I'm forgotten like a dead man. I'm like a broken vessel that's discarded and thrown out on the. If it's a broken piece of pottery, you just throw it out. You don't care about it. Get rid of it. So verse 12 is very strong. Verse 11, 12, 13. I heard of the defaming of many. He was defamed. People spoke badly about him. They took counsel against him. They devised to take away his life. So there's some terrible things going on here. And David is turning to God in the midst of that. Okay, number eight. Matthew, what does the psalmist do in the presence of his adversaries? Right. So this dark picture, and then verse 14, a very bright light, and that's the way it needs to be in our life. We can't just become so despondent that we just give up and quit. It's faith in the midst of foes. It's trust in the midst of troubles, and we need to learn from that. So, very good. So you got verse 6 and verse 14, this theme of trusting in the Lord. Okay? Mandy, number 9, what requests concerning himself does the psalmist have for the Lord? Uh-huh. Very good. So notice verse 15, a beautiful Beautiful verse there. My times are in thy hand. This is a reference to the providential care of God. We don't just go throughout life, you know, chance, fate, random fate. We're right now, we're in the hand of God. And so we need to remember that. And He providentially cares and controls for all things in our life. And that song, you know, the children's song, He's got the whole world in His hands. That's straight out of Scripture. So keep that in mind, verse 15, and meditate on that. But because of that, he asked for these different things, deliverance and His face to shine. The face to shine, verse 16, is probably taken from number 6. The Lord make His face to shine upon you, the priestly blessing there. Okay. Number 10, Larry, what request concerning the wicked does the psalmist have for the Lord?
Let the wicked be put to shame, silent,
grave, lying lips, silent, pride. Yep. So, again, this isn't revenge. We've talked about this before. These are called imprecatory statements where he's calling upon God to judge the wicked. He's not vengeful and mad and trying to get back at him. He wants God in his righteous character to take care of the wicked. So put them to shame and make them be silent and so forth. Okay? Of course, a reference again to Sheol. We see this a lot in the Psalms, or a reference to the grave. Okay, number 11, Patty, what does the psalmist praise about the Lord? Yeah, that's a beautiful statement. How great is thy goodness? That's a beautiful statement. So we move away from this section on foes and enemies to now some positive feelings about God, the great things that God has done in verses 19 through 22. And he praises God for His greatness. And so if we're going to fear God, if we're going to trust in God in these difficult times, then He's going to show His goodness upon us. Number 12, Shannon, what will the Lord do for those who fear Him and take refuge in Him? Right. We have this. Some of the older versions use covert or pavilion. It's just symbolic of protection and care and help. God is not going to physically remove us from problems in life, but He will protect us as we go through them. So that's a great thing that's coming from His goodness. It's refuge and protection. Okay, Sherry, number 13, what does the Lord show the psalmist? Okay, so His great goodness, verse 19, His marvelous loving kindness, verse 21. And so strong, positive feelings about God. And when people go through bad things today, they usually say negative things about God, right? Usually hear negative things. The psalmist is saying positive things. And so he's going through these terrible things. Look at 11, 12, and 13 again, and look at how badly he was treated, and what comes out of his mouth? Lord, how great is your goodness! So, again, we learn from these things. It's almost opposite of human nature that we see today. It's the opposite behavior. But what is it? It's the godly, righteous behavior. And those are some of the kinds of things that we need to be learning from the Psalms. So that's another beautiful statement, His great goodness and then His marvelous loving kindness. Eric, number 14, what does the psalmist say and how does the Lord respond?
He says, "For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, your heart, the voice of my supplication, heard the voice of my supplication when I cried out."
Right. This may be a reference to the psalmist's faith wavering a little bit. I said in my haste, you know, I'm just cut off. God, you're not there for me. But then you still answered me. And so that might happen from time to time where even the strongest of persons have a little lapse in faith, and maybe they say something that they shouldn't say. And that's probably what is going on here. But God still is faithful there to answer his cry. And then last of all, number 15, Joyce, what does the psalmist encourage the saints to do? Right, so love the Lord, be strong, let your heart take courage. Some closing exhortations and admonitions. And he's like saying, look, learn from my own life. Look at what I went through, how I continued to trust in the Lord. You need, you readers, you people, Israel, you need to do the same. And, of course, we can certainly learn from that as well. Okay, Mike, under the applications, we need to make the Lord our refuge and our strong rock. Look at these different terms, house of defense, fortress, stronghold. You know, one would be enough, but he just multiplies it over and over again. That's what the Lord is to him. What is the Lord to his people? Mike, Joel 3 and Nahum 1. Yep. So this is not just something that's in the Psalms. It's other places in the Old Testament, and we need to learn to view God that way. We're going to go through difficult times in our life, and we've always have a strong fortress there with God. Janice, why is God a safe refuge for his people? Yes, and if you want to add there, I left out verse 18. It should be 16 through 18, but God does not change. And then verse 18, he does not lie. So that's why he's a strong refuge. He's not shifting and moving all over the place. He's immutable. He's unchanging, and he does not lie. So you can count on him each day. He's not all over the place. You're wondering, where is God at? And then verse 18 there, that's why we come to him for a strong refuge, the Hebrew writer says. We come to him for a strong refuge. Why? Because of what he said earlier. He does not change and he does not lie. So we have that. Okay? Number two, Sean, what did Jesus say while he hung on the cross? Right, so we need to commit, some versions say, or commend, I give myself over to God. Why? Our life is in his hands anyway, and we need to just turn ourselves over to God. And you're going to find yourself in life, you're trying to make some decisions, you're trying to work through some issues. It's just best, God, I'm going to let you control my life. And that's a great thought. What similar thing did Stephen say? Brittany?
Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.
Right, receive my spirit, Acts 7:59. And so look at these positive statements on the dying lips of these men, Jesus and Stephen. It's a great way to leave our life. Lord, I just want to turn my life over to you. I want you to receive it. What does Peter say to commit ourselves to? Matthew, 1 Peter 4:19. Commit yourselves to a faithful Creator. And what's the context there, Matthew? Suffering and persecution. 1 Peter 4:16, if any man suffers, let him suffer as a Christian. And it's about suffering and persecution. And what do you do, verse 19? You just commit your life to a faithful Creator. Okay, turn it over to God. Very good. Mandy, number three, it is good for us to trust in the Lord and say, Thou art my God. What did Paul do in Philippians 2:24? Trusted in God, okay. And Larry, what did Jesus, Thomas, and Paul say about God? Right, God is not just some abstract, or he's for somebody else. He's mine. Make him personal. My God. And unfortunately, that is used as an expression, almost, you know, like a cuss word or just this, you know, casual expression today. But we need to make God our God. He needs to be the personal one each day that we trust in. He's not just some floating abstract thought out there. We need to make him personal, like the psalmist and these other individuals. Okay? Patty, number four. Great is God's goodness. What did Paul write about in Romans 2:4 and 11:22? Yeah, the goodness of God. Romans 2:4 leads you to repentance. And Romans 11:22, the goodness of God is balanced out with His severity. He has two sides. And so we need to be receiving the goodness of God, not acting disobediently where we're going to receive His severity. Shannon, number 5, we're to love the Lord. What is the first and great commandment according to Jesus?
Love the Lord your God.
Yep. And it's still a good exhortation today. Love Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, body, strength. Love the Lord. That would solve a lot of problems in our world today if more people would love the Lord. What question did Jesus ask Peter 3 times? Sherry, in John 21. Do you love me? It's a basic question that when answered properly and carried out in our life is going to bring us great reward, because if we love Jesus, we'll keep His commandments. Do we really love Him? And Peter got a little perturbed, you know, that, well, Lord, why are you asking me 3 times? But it's a basic question, but do we really love the Lord the way we're supposed to? And it wouldn't hurt to ask it 3 times and really, you know, really think about it. Love is so watered down today that people may not realize what all is involved in truly loving the Lord. Okay, Eric, what is to be of the person who does not love the Lord?
Let him be accursed.
Yeah, let him be anathema, some versions say, or accursed. And so it's an important thing to think about. It's not some, light thing. Mike, what did Moses and the Lord tell Joshua? Be strong and of good courage. And so this is the closing admonition in Psalm 31, and we need to have that admonition in our life today. And what is the context? It's persecution, suffering, problems, enemies, adversaries. And what's the closing admonition? Be strong and courageous. What did Joshua tell the Israelites? Janice? Yep, so he passes on the admonition that was given to him. He passes that on to Israel. Be strong and courageous. And what did David tell Solomon? I think you probably get the point by now. Sean?
Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid
of. Right, so he's got the temple to be built ahead of him. He's got a kingdom to run. And it's one of the great parting words of David. And if we had to tell somebody something at the end of our life, that would be a great thing to tell them. Be strong and courageous. We need that, especially in today's world. Let's sing a couple of songs dealing with Psalm 31. I think this will take us up through maybe the first 14 verses or so. This first one we're familiar with. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord. You'll sing with me, please. In Thee, O Lord, I put my trust, shame let me not be. According to Thy righteousness, do Thou deliver me. Bow down Thine ear to my request, and swift deliverance send. To save me be a rock of strength, a fortress to defend. Since Thou my rock and fortress art, for Thy name's sake now guide, and rescue me from secret net. Thou dost my strength abide. I to Thy hand with confidence my spirit do commend. For unto me, Lord God of truth, redemption thou dost send, who lying vanities observe, I greatly have abhorred. But as for me, my confidence is fixed upon the Lord. This next song, you may not be familiar with it. I sing the mighty power of God, but it's not too hard to learn. Some of us may know it. It's in some psalm books around. But this would be the wording from verses 7 through 14. I'll in thy steadfast love rejoice, because my wretchedness thou hast considered, and hast known my soul in deep distress. Thou hast not let prevail o'er me that adversary's hand. Thou hast within an open place my feet made firm to stand. Be gracious unto me, O Lord, I am in deep distress. My eye, my soul, my body waste with grief and heaviness, because my life with grief is spent, my years with sighs and groans. My strength has failed because of sin, and wasted are my bones. Because of all my enemies, I've been a scorn and shame. To neighbors most of all, to friends, a horror I became. For when they saw me in the street, they from my presence fled. I like a broken vessel am, forgotten like the dead. For many slanders I have heard, on every side is strife. Against me they have all conspired, they plot to take my life. But as for me, O Lord, in thee I trust for my defense, and unto thee, thou art my God, I say with confidence.